So good morning, everyone. Good morning. What I want to speak about this morning is an issue that I admit is very relevant nowadays, simply because, unfortunately, this COVID has been running after us now for almost 2 years. And one of the many things that allow a country to make decisions is to know how many people are sick with it. In order to find out how many people actually have the sickness, what do we need to have? We need to have people that have that ability to take that very, very long Q-tip and put it in your nose and in your mouth and do what's called a COVID test. Now, there's no question that if someone's actually coming to a COVID test, their probability of actually having the disease is higher. It could be because they came back from abroad, which is a small probability, but higher than someone living here. It could be because they have someone in the house or someone in the office that has COVID, which of course puts up the probability. And therefore, what I want to deal with is it even mutter to be a COVID checker? Namely, you volunteer or get paid in order to be one of those people that put that Q-tip into your nose and in your mouth. Perhaps you're putting yourself into a dangerous situation, which is forbidden by halacha. We are all been taught by our kindergarten teachers that pikuach nefesh is doche, kol ha-Torah kula, and even safek pikuach nefesh is doche, even Yom Kippur. Here, you're putting yourself into a very dangerous situation. God forbid, you will get COVID because you intentionally put yourself into a situation where you're checking people with a high probability of having COVID. And the question is that even mutter according to halacha?
Why would that be in the slightest bit be different than dealing with COVID patients for a doctor or a nurse?
Indeed.
Medical staff.
Indeed, we can now take the very same question and expand it to what you just said. What allows you to be a doctor to deal with any sort of dangerous situation? It could be COVID, it could be AIDS, any contagious disease of sorts, shapes, and sizes. With
or
all
the
masks
or
in the world,
you're
not
army.
Totally defended from getting the disease.
All or the army,
or Yishuv
Eretz Yisrael,
or interacting with other people.
Ein ledabar sof.
Correct. Ein ledabar sof. If I can just answer Tzvi's question. Tzvi, you are mechavein in your beautiful retort to the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch asks, how can we have a mitzvah to go out to war if it's bikuach nefesh by default? So you're mechavein to his question. His answer is an interesting one, and that's exactly our shir. His answer is that there wouldn't be a mitzvah of war if indeed pikuach nefesh would not allow it. Namely, you couldn't get a war off the ground if you just say pikuach nefesh dochet kol ha-Torah kula. It's like built into the Torah, mashallah maha davar domeh. You're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, correct? If Tisha B'Av, Shivasar B'Tamuz this year, or Lo Aleinu comes out on Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. If Tanis Esther comes out on Shabbos, we push it back to Thursday. Asara B'Teves, Machlokas Rishonim, in general, we paskin, we also push it off. But the bottom line is, we don't fast on Shabbos, except for Yom Kippur. Why do we fast on Yom Kippur? For the same reason. God would not tell you to fast if indeed he'd say, no, Shabbos wouldn't allow you to fast. Because once in a while, Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos. So that's his answer. But I want to know about something else. We're not talking about a soldier going to war. We're not talking about a doctor who, by definition, his definition as profession is indeed to be in these situations. Can I volunteer to be a COVID checker? It's not my profession, but I want to help. After all, there's a national effort to try to combat this disease. Can I help or not? So let's take a step back and see, first of all, do I even have an obligation to help a fellow Jew who is in a dangerous situation?
Are yes, you please. Sure? Yeah, the question is predicated on the fact that there's a suggestion that it's more dangerous to check. The people that check are covered up in such a way that the incidence of them catching may be close to zero, and so there may be no danger.
So I asked doctors and whatnot. They told me that it's not close to zero. They cover up. There's no question. They're wearing gloves, this, that, and the other thing, but it's not totally zero. It's not totally zero. And that's what the shear is predicated on. So let's begin and see, indeed, what... Is there even a mitzvah to help a fellow Jew in general. And the answer is, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. If you look in the top of the source sheet, you'll see called the Rambam Paskins, kol hayachola atzil velo yitzil, over alota amod al dam reyecha. We have a mitzvah in the Torah not to stand idle when someone's blood is being shed. Namely, if you see someone that's drowning and you know how to swim, you have to go in and save them. That's not a good deed. You don't get the Good Samaritan Award for it, Arthur. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to do it. And if you don't, you're over on a lav that's at least at the same level as eating chazim. Lota amod al dam re'echa. However, the Radbaz, who saw the words of the Rambam, the Radbaz is after the generation of the Shulchan Aruch, literally right after. In other words, we're talking about the beginning of the Achronim period. He's almost like a Rishon. The Radbaz says that what the Rambam says is predicated on the fact that this is only on assumption that you can save someone, yet not get into a dangerous situation yourself. You can jump into the pool, you can pull the person out, and you yourself won't be endangered by it. Can someone mute their microphone? I hear background. Okay. Make a long story short, the bottom line is, you have to save someone as long as you are not endangered yourself. What about if you know for sure that by saving someone, you will be in a dangerous situation? Namely, you go into an ocean, not a pool, and you save someone knowing that you will have hyperthermia and you will be in a dangerous situation. This is not probability, Bruce. This is for sure. If you try to save them, you will be in a dangerous situation. If you take out your gun to shoot, they will shoot at you. It's not even a question, will you or will you not? The whole question is, will you survive? But you will be in pikuach nefesh within minutes. In that situation, do you have to save? So everybody here will answer, of course not. We have the famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, Shnayim Shahayu Ma'alchin Baderech, a famous Gemara, you could see it here, that says, by the way, I hate people that say famous Gemara, so I just hate it myself. Anyone that says famous Gemara, it makes everyone, does no good. I'll tell you why, Arthur. If you don't know the Gemara, you feel bad. Oh, it's famous and I don't know it. If you know it, you stop listening. So you do no good. So there's a Gemara that says that two people were walking in the desert. Have you heard the story, Tzvi?
It's well known.
Well known. Okay, better than famous. Two people walking in the desert and they only have one canteen of water. And basically, if one person drinks, the other person dies. If they both drink, they both will eventually die. What do you do? Ben Petura says they should both drink and die. But Rabbi Akiva says, no. Chayecha kodmin lechayei chaverecha. Your life comes before the life of your fellow Jew. And therefore, you do not save him at the expense of endangering your own life. The Meshech Chochma medayik this halacha from the parsha itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu last week, go back to Mitzrayim. Why? Ki meitu kol ha'anashim ha'mevakshim et nafshecha. Because all the people that wanted to kill you are dead. Meaning there's no danger for you to go back. Says the Meshech Chochma, Muchach, from here we learn, de'im ayu chayim ha'mevakshim et nafsho, if they were alive, lo yatzarich lalechet lotzi et b'nei Yisrael. You'd have no Pesach, no constipation after the Seder, no hangover after the four cups of wine. The Jewish people would still be enslaved in Egypt. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu would have been in a dangerous situation. He would have gone back and the people that wanted to kill him would be after him. But since they're no longer looking for him, then he can come back to Egypt. Namely, this is a clear-cut halacha. You do not go ahead and save someone else at the price of you yourself being in a dangerous situation. Okay? According to this, if we stop the shear here, you save another fellow Jew to the best of your abilities, if not, mitzvah lo ta'aseh of lo ta'amod al dam reyecha. However, only if it doesn't put you in danger. So I am recalling, please help me, Tzvi, Bruce, anyone that remembers, the Lebanon War number 2. There was a famous story about a soldier, an officer, I forgot his name, that threw himself on a grenade and saved all the soldiers in the room, a religious soldier. Do you remember? And he said, Shema Yisrael?
Rowan,
Roe Klein, Hashem Yikom Damo. May God avenge his blood. Roe Klein, Zichrono Levracha. If we stop the shear here, what he did was against halacha. I would say he saved endless soldiers. Morally, I can understand it, but halachically, he endangered himself, namely put his life at danger at the price of saving others, right? Well, the truth of the matter is we're not stopping the shear here, because indeed, maybe Roe Klein thought that by throwing himself on the grenade, he would be hurt, even dangerous situation, but maybe he would survive. Maybe he would survive. So indeed, the question is, when I go ahead itself and endanger myself, if it's for sure, we see the halacha is very clear. But what happens if it's a suffix sakana? Namely, if I go and check people for COVID, I may get sick and maybe not, because as pointed out by others, Bruce, I believe, made this point earlier. You're covered up. You're wearing that suit. You're wearing the gloves. You know, you maybe not get in a dangerous situation. Even if you get COVID, maybe you'll survive it. And as the saying goes, no harm done. You'll be a little tired, a little headache. You'll have a little stuffy nose. But the bottom line is you'll get over it. You'll get over it. So you won't be able to smell the food. At the end of the day, you'll still survive. Right? So you won't be able to say, Borei minei besamim et havdala. I feel bad for you, but survive you will. In that situation, what is the halacha? In that situation. Okay? So, let us see. We have two Gemaras. Two Gemaras that seem to be at odds with each other. A Gemara in Yerushalmi and a Gemara in the Bavli. So let's start with the Yerushalmi. Rav Itzi Itztayeg B'Safsufa. Rav Itzi was taken captive in a place called Safsufa. So said Rabbi Yonatan, I have no guns. I don't have an army. I don't even have money to pay them off to let them free. So he says one of the most cynical comments I've ever seen in the Gemara. Yikarech Hamet B'Sdino. Imagine, just for a moment, Avi is taken captive. We're all sitting around thinking, how are we going to get him out? We can't find a viable way to do it. We don't have ammunition. We don't have an army. We don't even have funds to ransom his body. So imagine if someone around this table would say, you know what? Let's just send him shrouds because he's going to die. Let's just send the shrouds already. That's what the Gemara says. It's the most cynical comment I've ever seen in years. Well, that was Rabbi Yonatan. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Shimon ben Lakish disagrees. And the ana kotel ve ana mitktel. I'm going in. Either I will be killed or I will kill. And guess what? He went in. He negotiated. And the Gemara ends. They let Rav Isi free. From this Gemara, you see that you put yourself at potential danger in order to save another Jew. Simple. Rav Shlokish did it, and it worked. And he didn't actually be in any dangerous situation himself.
Yeah, that's the Yerushalmi. You can bring up other cases where it didn't work.
Ah, very good. But Arthur, the very fact that he tried shows we have to try too. Even if it means we will be in danger.
Aren't you ignoring something else? You're ignoring, like, for example, when you build, it says in the Torah, when you build a new house on a roof, you're supposed to put a fence.
Correct.
Because you're supposed to prevent danger. And this is where we learn out that it's forbidden to raise a bad dog or put up a rickety ladder. Mm-hmm. So maybe we learn from this also that you're not supposed to put yourself in danger.
There is absolutely one of the many sources of not putting yourself in a dangerous situation. And this year, we're trying to deal with a different kind of question, and that is saving someone else, not your own safeguards.
Well,
in any case,
your own
safeguard
also saves anyone who goes up on the roof.
Correct. So just like you're allowed to go out to war, even though there's a pikuach nefesh halacha, so too, according to this Yerushalmi, you're allowed to go save Rav Isi at the expense of your own life, if he's in danger. That's what the Yerushalmi says. The Bavli seems to disagree, in my humble opinion. The Bavli talks about the following situation in Maseches Nida on the left side of the page. B'nei Galila, there was a certain few people from the Galil that it said they murdered people. You know, a blood libel. This time, so basically they came to Rabbi Tarfon's house and they said, they're trying to kill us. They say we murdered someone. It's one big lie. It's a libel. They're putting it on us. It's absolutely a lie. You know, the press can always come out with whatever they want. It didn't happen. Okay. So the Gemara in Maseches Nida says it, and Rabbi Tarfon has the following deliberation. If he believes it, if he hides them, he's going to put himself in danger. If he doesn't hide them, if he doesn't hide them, they'll be in danger. If he hides them, he's believing Lashon Hara, Lishna Bisha. And he shouldn't believe Lashon Hara. As you understand, he's debating, should I put myself in danger over here? You know, also believe Lashon Hara and put myself in danger, God forbid, in order to save these people from the Galil. What is Rabbi Tarfon's conclusion? Zilu atum tamru nafshaychu. He said, sorry, can't help you. Sorry, can't help you guys. They want you for murder. My house is closed. Close the door. There's a famous story why Rav Soloveitchik, a Lithuanian rabbi, father of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, became the rabbi in Khoslavich, which was a Lubavitch town. And the answer is, this was the legend, that during the war against Napoleon, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was against Napoleon, came to Khoslavich and hid in the home of the Lithuanian rabbi. What happened? He basically came to the door and said, can I hide in your home? Now, the Lithuanian rabbi at that time hated the Hasidim. The Hasidim hated the Litvakin. But when it came to Pikuach Nefesh, all the hatred was aside. The Napoleon soldiers knocked on the door and said, hi, how are you? We'd like to ask if Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi is in your basement. And the Lithuanian rabbi said, him? If I see him, I'd kill him myself. He ruined Judaism. And they believed him. So he saved Rav Shneur Zalman. So the Lubavitchers, seeing everything as a sign from heaven, decided from then on, we're only putting a Lithuanian Rav on our Chabad town. So that's what happened. That was the legend then. Well, this story is exactly against that legend. Rabbi Tarfon said, sorry, can't help you. Medayek the Natsiv in his Perush to the She'iltos, which is amazing because the Natsiv wrote a Perush on a book that none of us even learned, right? The She'iltos of Rav Achai Gaon, Im Haviyade Shuhu Alilat Sheker, Hayachasadayem, Melochasha Sakanat Atzmo, Debechasha Sakanat Nafashot, and Chiyuv Bishum Ofen. The only reason why Rabbi Tarfon actually went ahead and said no was because he actually believed that these people killed. If he thought it was one big libel, he would have hid them in the basement. But since he believed that it could have happened, he decided that he can't put himself in danger. So it seems to me that on this question, can you endanger yourself, suffik pikuach nefesh, to save someone else who's for sure in a pikuach nefesh situation? The Bavli says no, and the Yerushalmi says yes. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish in the Yerushalmi did it, but Rabbi Tarfon in the Bavli did not. Then if you don't want to say Bavli Yerushalmi, just say Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish disagree on this question. So what is the halacha? How does the poskim deal with it? How do they poskim? So what do you say, Arthur? How do you think they poskim? Bavli against Yerushalmi. How do we usually poskim?
Bavli.
You are correct. Can anyone tell me why? Have anyone ever heard of halacha kebatra'i? The halacha is like the later source. The Rosh explains that since the Bavli was written after the Yerushalmi, it knew the Yerushalmi, And yet, if it said otherwise, we always go by the later source. Just like you ask a rabbi that's alive today, your shilas, you don't ask a rabbi that's dead, your shilas. So therefore, we paskin like the Bavli. However, on this question, it doesn't seem clear-cut in the poskim. There is a difference of opinion. If you look on the bottom of the page as we continue, you will see that indeed there are two different opinions on this. The Beis Yosef quotes the Haga'ot Maimoniot. The Haga'ot Maimoniot, who wrote his Perush on the Rambam, was a Chavrusa at the time of the Rosh under the Maharam. Part of that group, the Rosh, the Mordechai, the Haga'ot Maimoniot, all learned together. The Mordechai was killed al Kiddush Hashem. The Maharam was taken captive in that famous story we all know about, where he said, "Do not ransom my body," apropos our shir, and the Rosh ran away to Spain. Everyone remember? So part of that group was the Haga'ot Maimoniot, right? He was of the same age. The Haga'ot Maimoniot, quoted by the Beis Yosef, says, "We passed him like the Yerushalmi." So if indeed there is a suffix sakona to you, then you do go out of your way to save another Jew. Explains the Beis Yosef for a very simple reason. This person for sure is in a dangerous situation. He has COVID. You may get COVID. So we will not say, don't save him because you may get COVID. That's suffix. He's for sure in a dangerous situation. When you have suffix in badai, you go with the vadai. That's the way we paskin in general. And that's the way we paskin on this issue as well. The Radbaz brings this point of view, though doesn't necessarily agree with it. And so does the Stei Chemed in his Perush. The Stei Chemed, it's one of the first encyclopedias on the Gemara, not the first, but one of the first. He lived in Hebron in the 19th century. And I'll just quote his words. The Afim Yesh La Hamatzil Chashash Sakana, Chayav Lachnis Asmo Lesafek Sakana, Kedei Latzil Et Chavero Mivadai Sakana. Okay? So COVID checkers, not only can they must. However, the SMA on the left side of the page disagrees. Because the SMA says, with due respect, all the poskim did not bring this halacha. This was just a clear-cut halacha. Then how come the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, the Tor, all the poskim that codify Jewish law do not bring this halacha? Incidentally, they didn't overlook it because they do deal with Pikuach Nefesh. As a matter of fact, did you know that the Beit Yosef I just quoted is the last Beit Yosef in Choshen Mishpat? Literally the last page, the last Perush, the Beit Yosef in his infinite wisdom decided, I, Rav Yosef Karo, are going to finish my Perush with this halacha. It's pretty, pretty bold. Everyone else forgot about it. Obviously, they paskined against it. And the question is why? And there's four reasons why that I found. The first is the Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva brings a book that no one ever heard of, because that's what the Pischei Tshuva does. The Pischei Tshuva is written on the bottom of the page of the Shulchan Aruch. He brings all the achronim in his time. I never heard of most of the books he brings. I mean, I heard of the Chasam Sofer, the Nodeb Yehuda, but the Agudat Ezov, never heard of. He says very simply, because the Bavli, the story of Rabbi Tarfon, disagrees, and we paskin like the Bavli. Very simple answer. Sometimes the simplest answers are the best. Second answer why we don't paskin this way is the Bach. Who is the Bach? Who is the Bach?
Famous musician.
Famous musician. You're correct. But his mom called him Bach. Or in school, when they wanted to like really get him, they called him by his last name, right? This guy's name was not Bach. When in school they wanted to yell at him, they didn't say, Bach, sit down. Rav Yoel Sirkis, the father-in-law of the Taz, wrote a Perush on the tour against the Beis Yosef. Remember, the Beis Yosef, the house of Yosef. The Bach wrote a Perush against the Beit Yosef called the Bayit Chadash. You understand the pun? I'm writing the new house. Rav Yosef Karo has the old house, okay? So the Reb Yosef Karo says you have to put yourself in Suffolk Sakana to save someone in Vadai Sakana. Comes along the Bach and says, no, you do not have to. Why? Because the Rambam that we began with said, if you can save someone and you didn't, you're over in a lota say. What did the Rambam say? If you could save someone, you don't have to go ahead and put yourself in a dangerous situation in order to save someone else. So you only go ahead and save someone if you can. What's can? Can means not just I know how to swim. Can means I won't put myself in a dangerous situation. If I do, you don't have to. So the first reason is that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi, and the second reason of the Bach is allowing yourself or the permissibility, asking, can I save him? One of the considerations is, will I be myself in a dangerous situation? If the answer is yes, you don't go ahead and save him. Yes, Bruce.
Does it, I might have been asked this before. I might have missed it. Does that mean that to become a fireman is an usher profession to enter?
So far, yeah.
So far.
Comes along the Minchas Chinuch, and the Minchas Chinuch gives a third reason. He basically says very simply, if you go ahead and save someone at your own expense, you are doing averos in order to save them. Just like you don't steal someone's lulav and etrog in order to fulfill that mitzvah. That's called mitzvah haba'a be'avera. A mitzvah that came about by virtue of an aveira. So to here, if you go ahead and save someone, you are going to be a sinner. Why? Because Arthur said, you're not allowed to have a roof without a gate. The mitzvah of ma'akeh says you have to safeguard yourself. And it says, v'chai bahem v'lo lamut bahem. And pikuach nefesh is doche kol ha-torah kula. The bottom line is, if you go ahead and save this person, you are doing averas on the way. What averas? All the things that govern pikuach nefesh from the day you were born. So therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, you do not save this person, and that's why those Rishonim didn't bring it, because we don't paskin this way. Very nice story in Yerushalmi. We don't paskin this way. So the first reason is the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. The second reason is, very simply, you can't save him physically because you will put yourself in a sakana. It's not part of that mitzvah. And the third reason is it goes against every halacha of pikuach nefesh. The halacha of pikuach nefesh means take care of yourself before someone else. If you do not, you're going against the halacha. I'll just make it very, very telegraphic. I don't know how many of you have been on planes lately, but do you remember going on planes at the beginning of the ride when they show that movie when no one watches and it says if something happens and the pressure in the cabin changes? Anyone want to finish?
You put on your mask first.
You put on your mask first, because if you don't, you will suffocate together with your child. But if you put on your mask first, then you may save him. Says the Minchas Chinuch, yeah. First you safeguard yourself, and then you save others. If you can't do that, you don't save others. Comes along Yehigos Moshe of Moshe Feinstein and gives a fourth answer. Why we don't paskin this way? And he says, and I quote, Shalom atzinu she'alav shalot tamod adam reyecha, yechamor mikol lavin shebatorah. Why would you say that the mitzvah, lo ta'aseh, of not standing idle when someone is in a dangerous situation would be more chamor than any other mitzvah? All the mitzvot in the Torah we fulfill, except for the cardinal three, not at the expense of our own life. We don't kill ourselves, put ourselves in a dangerous situation in order to make Kiddush Friday night, in order to fast on Yom Kippur. So how come this would be different? Says the Rav Moshe Feinstein, it isn't different. So you save someone as long as you don't put yourself in a dangerous situation. If you do, you don't save them. And that's the bottom line of Rav Moshe Feinstein. This mitzvah is no different than any other mitzvah. You don't do it at the expense of your life. Be that as it may, four different reasons why you wouldn't do it. So it seems very clear that since the poskim didn't bring it outside of the Beit Yosef, including the Beit Yosef in his own Shulchan Aruch, didn't bring this halacha, we don't paskin this way. We don't save someone at our own expense of our life. Okay, it's not a chiyuv. Can you? Are you allowed to? Have you ever heard of a midat chasidut? What's a midat chasidut? We're in the middle of Shemitah. So many, many people say the heter mechira is a good heter, including Rav Uvadja Yosef. But Rav Uvadja Yosef says, whoever wants to buy Otzar Beit Din with Kedushat Shvi'it, it's a midat chasidut. It's not the halacha. You don't have to. It's a midat chasidut. Okay? Is it a midat chasidut to put yourself in a dangerous situation in order to save another person? In other words, Roy Klein, Hashem Yikom Damo, who did it? Would we call him a kadosh and a chassid? Comes along the Pischei Tshuva that we quoted earlier in the name of our own Radbaz that we also quoted earlier, and said, in Om Chuyav, Zulat Mimidat Chassidut. And the one who agrees with him says something very, very similar. The Natsif from Volozhin in the She'iltos says, indeed, that harotzelach mir latzmo rashai, that even in the rest of the mitzvot, you don't have to die for Shmirat Shabbos, Brit Milah, or any other mitzvah. But if you want to, outside of the cardinal three, or even the cardinal three, if it's not Befarhesia, says the Netziv, you can. So we would call Roy Klein a chassid. We would call any corona checker a wonderful Jew. They are volunteering to put themselves in a dangerous situation. Now, albeit, I agree, not every single person coming to a COVID test is in a dangerous situation. Sometimes it's just procedure, like you're about to take a flight back home, or you're about to go on a flight, or you're going back to a base after a whole week of being home. Be that as it may, indeed, there are many situations where it's not dangerous per se, but there are situations where it is. And therefore, says the Ha'amek She'ela, that if it is dangerous and you volunteer, it's a wonderful thing. However, other poskim disagree. And in my opinion, it's based on the reasons we say. If you say the Babli disagrees with the Yerushalmi, then you're going against the halacha. If you say, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that this love, lo ta'amod al damrei echa, is no different than any other love, you're also over on the halacha. You decided this is more important than other mitzvot in the Torah. But if you simply say you don't have to, then you can volunteer. So indeed, it's not surprising that both Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Radbaz, who said don't do it, are saying you can't even volunteer to do it. Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's asur lachnis atzmo l'safek sakana. And the Radbaz said, if you do it, you're a chassid shote. What's a chassid shote? A stupid chassid. What's a stupid chassid? Someone that does something against the halacha and makes a fool out of himself. It says to sit down on the plane. There is terrible turbulence. It is dangerous, or you're landing, and you get up because you're a chassid, and you daven Shmoneh Esrei standing up. That, and everyone looks at you and says, that is strange. That is crazy. That is an imbecile. Indeed, I've seen it in my life. I told the story many times. Chassid Shote. Chassid Shote is also the example in the Gemara where a lady is drowning. You could save her. No sakana to yourself. And you say, but I'm wearing tefillin, so my tefillin will get ruined, so I'm not going to save the lady. Or I don't look at women. That's a chassid shote. Okay? That's the Radbaz. Rav Moshe Feinstein simply said it's usher. So we have a difference of opinion. Can you? If you don't have to, can you? Yes, Bruce.
Since you mentioned chassidim, I'm not sure if they are chassidim. When I'm in a hospital, which is, thank God, very rarely there, the people that walk around handing out, food and all kinds of gemaks, they're usually from people. Now, the hospital is where the germs happen to be. I mean, if you want to be safe, don't be in a hospital. So these people, they're Hasidim, they're doing a very nice mitzvah, handing things out. But perhaps they follow this Hasidim Sota rule. They're putting themselves in a place where all the germs happen to be.
You have a very good point. However, I think there's a difference between getting germs versus being in a sakana.
Well, the germs can lead to it. It's a precursor.
That's always a question of probability, correct. But as you could see here, the Beit Yosef says you must, and the Radbaz and the Natsif says you can. But Moshe Feinstein says you can't. The Radbaz says you can't either.
I thought the must was when there's a life and death in front of you. Yeah, they're just being nice. They're doing a nice mitzvah. They're taking care of people that are potential. They're visiting the sick. That's where all the germs happen. If you have to be there, you have to be there. But if you don't have to be there, why put yourself in the same building where every germ in the country happens to be?
Exactly. So we're going to get to that as the seer ends. Why put yourself in that situation if you don't have to, right? Let's get to that. So just to sum up, lahalacha. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, we mentioned Rav Shneur Zalman earlier. In one context, he brings both opinions. One is you're not allowed to. And then he says, V'yesh cholkin b'zeh. Excuse me. One opinion is you must. And then he says, there's an opinion that says you don't. And safek nefashot lahakel, you don't go ahead and put yourself in a dangerous situation in order to save others. Okay? In between, we have the opinions that say you can. Rav Zilberstein in a tshuva says she'en lechayev. You don't make someone go into the medical profession and put themselves in danger. Ulam im rotzeh litmaser lo atzalat choleh ashrei chelka. You're a chassid. It's a wonderful thing to put yourself in a dangerous situation in order to save another Jew. The Radbaz says something a little different. It depends what the probability is. Namely, if for sure you're going to get sick and dangerously ill, you don't do it. But if you go into a hospital to give out food and Shabbos candles and do Bikur Cholim, maybe you'll get sick, maybe not. I visited hospitals. I didn't come out of there with germs every time I went in. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Notela hatzala. You know, in all probability, you'll probably save the person. And you, yourself, will not necessarily be in a dangerous situation. Then, not only can you, but you must. You must go ahead and save that person. Namely, according to the Radbaz, the Bavli says you don't if you know for sure that you will be in a dangerous situation. For sure, they're going to have to daven for you in shul and a mishaberach l'chole because you put yourself in that situation. But if there's a probability that's lower, then not only can you, you must, says the Radbaz. That's the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. So, how do we paskin? Bottom line, doctors ask us, can I be doctors? Nurses say, can I be nurses? I want to volunteer to do a corona check. What do we do? I believe that both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah give it to us in such a clear way that we have to read their words. On the one hand, it's going to sum up our shir, and on the other hand, it's going to tell you how to act. Listen to their words. This is one of the most beautiful summaries of my shiurim I've ever seen. I didn't have to say it. They wrote it long before I delivered the shir. Ha'poskim evil b'shem Yerushalmi. What we saw, namely, you have to put yourself in danger to save someone else. But in the Bavli, we see that Rabbi Tarfon didn't do it. All right, Machlokas, do you have to go ahead and put yourself in a dangerous situation in order to save another person? How do they sum up the halacha? Listen to their words. Hakol lefi ha'inyan. The answer is, I can't give you a clear-cut answer about every situation. This is not a Yale V'yavo Shaila. I forgot Yale V'yavo at Shachris. Do I have to repeat my Shmoneh Esrei? every situation is different, and you have to consider it in each and every situation individually. Namely, of course we have a mitzvah of guarding our own soul. Of course we have a mitzvah not to put ourselves in pikuach nefesh. But Arthur, if you're going to take that to the logical conclusion, like Bruce did a few moments ago, will you leave your house ever? I'll tell you why not. If you leave your house and walk on the sidewalk, there's a probability that someone on a bicycle may run you down. High, low.
The house is
probability
dangerous.
There is. You go into your car. Do I have to tell you how many road accidents there are in Israel with Israeli drivers that drive in this country that should never have driven in their lives? As I was taught when I got to Israel, we're a very friendly country. On the road, everyone waves to each other with their middle finger. Gentlemen, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you're going to lishmor al atzmo yoter midai? What? I have to guard my soul, so I'll be a germ freak. You know, forget about corona. I will never leave my house. I will always talk to people with a mask and gloves and a corona gown because I may get a germ. That's ridiculous. On the other hand, put yourself in a very dangerous situation is also ridiculous. You have to, in each situation, consider what's the probability and can I save someone? First of all, not in all situations you can save someone. You have to be very, very careful from the complex of I'm God. You know, if I don't do it, no one's going to do it. There's no one like me. No one's God. Number two, you have to also ask, it's a real sakana. We get into cars. How many of us are overweight and we still eat nash? So to say, oh, I am so careful that I'm not going to put myself in a dangerous situation to save others. This is the same Jew that's so careful that they never eat anything that will put up their cholesterol. Rav Schechter, Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita, once said something interesting. There are Jews out there that are so careful not to mix fish with meat. You know, sakana. They have separate forks, separate plates, and these are the same people that are overweight and have high cholesterol. So with due respect, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you have to consider it. Is it a real sakana or not? If it is, what's the probability? And the Mishnah Brura, in the same generation as the Aruch HaShulchan, so Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein got to the 20th century and so did the Chafetz Chaim, says exactly the same thing. Im yesh sakana lahamatzil. Eino mechuyav, if there's a real sakana to the person trying to save, you don't have to do it. True. Olam tzarich lishkol hadvarim heitev im yesh bo sofik sakana velo ledakdek biyoter. Don't be a germ freak. Ask yourself if there is sakana. So today the doctor said there's a sakana, wear masks. We do that. But the same doctors that said wear masks were the same doctors that said it's okay to come to shul. If they said not, we wouldn't have come to shul, as we recall. Not so many years ago. But today they say, with masks, it's okay to come to shul. On the other hand, if you come to shul without a mask, you're doing the opposite. You're putting yourself in a sakana, which is 100% wrong. I went into a shul this week, and I got so upset. I went into a shul I usually don't daven in our area. And not one person was wearing a mask except for a select few. And it was in a place without windows. So I wrote to the rabbi of the shul that when I walked into your shul, there was a big, beautiful poster that said, because of corona and everything we went into, no one should look at their phone during davening. And I wrote to the rabbi, before we talk about what we went through past tense, let's talk about what's happening present tense. What's happening present tense is you're in a shul without windows and no one's wearing a mask. And I don't have to tell you what it means to put yourself in a suffix sakana and whatnot. Needless to say, Bruce, he didn't write back. which I find to be disgusting, really disgusting. I mean, someone writes to you right back. Either write back and tell him, go fly a kite, or write back and answer him. But just to ignore someone, I always found to be disgusting and deplorable. In any case, getting back to our story, we have to not be naive. We put ourselves in what I would call probable sakanas every day. We drive a car, we go on the sidewalk, and therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, logically, what people usually do, doctors are doctors, nurses are nurses, and no one dies from it usually, then it must be okay. People go into hospitals to give out Shabbos candles and food, and they don't necessarily go into suffix sakana, that's probably okay. However, a true sakana, you should be very, very careful not to put yourself in. To end this year, I just wanted to share that throughout the generations, there were rabbis that put themselves into sakana. And they did it. I will end this year with this little passage from the Nefesh HaRabah of Herschel Schechter. He talks about this issue, and he talks about three different cases that happened. The first is with the Gra. There was some sort of a libel against the Jews that they stole something from the Catholic Church. And one Jew wanted to volunteer to say, I did it, even though he didn't, which means he'd probably get killed, but he'd save all the rest of the community. And the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, said, I need to think about it. That's one thing you don't tell a balabayit. People don't have patience, even in that time. Well, this person did it, and indeed he was killed, and he saved the Jewish community, putting himself in a real sakana, and he's buried next to the Gra, according to this legend. And if you look on the left side of the page, you can find two more stories regarding the last epidemic, not the last, but the second to last one, when there was a cholera epidemic in Europe. So indeed, Reb Chaim went out of his way to go to the hospitals, to visit people, to bring them home, even though he put himself in a suffix sakana. So as you could see, it was done. It was done by great rabbis, even though there was probably a suffix sakana. Yes, any questions before we end? Yes, Bruce.
Yeah, if you have a machloket situation, and I presume everything about COVID here is a machloket. So let's say that particular shul is filled with doctors, and those doctors have put studies up on the wall that show that masks are not all that effective, and everyone happens to be vaccinated anyway. And that rabbi holds by the doctors in the shul. And the shul down the street is like the opposite position. So if there's a machloket rishonim, so it is among the doctors, so does that change, or how does one deal with that?
There's a machloket rishonim amongst the doctors, and the question is totally medical, then I agree, you should ask your medical professions and do what they say. There's no, on the other hand, but you forgot to mention one thing. What did you forget to mention?
Yeah, the machut adina.
Exactly. There's a law in this country that says that at this moment, inside, you wear masks. So by not wearing masks, you're breaking the law. And I do hope that a rabbi is not saying, I am so happy to break the law. I cheat on my taxes because my taxes are too high. There's a machlekes rishonim, how many taxes are supposed to be taken. And this country is taking 30%. It should really take 20%. So I'm cheating on my taxes. He's breaking the law.
No, but
he's
I'm
breaking
not
the
to make,
law in a place called the shul. It's a chilul Hashem, and
I'm not trying to make a real. I'm not trying to make a real case in this case. Let's say the law would be again. It's optional. Every shul decides, and you're pretty convinced that it's ridiculous not to have masks.
Fine.
And yet, other in shul, they don't have masks, filled with doctors.
So I'd say good. I'd say fine on one condition: that indeed, if there was no law, I would say that you're asking the doctors, and that was their genuine medical advice. But if there's a machlokas between doctors, then as a Jew, a religious Jew for that matter, suffik bikuach nefesh, we go to chumrah in terms of doing everything to save, you should wear masks. But if there's a genuine machlokas, does it help, not help, and you go by your medical professions, fine, just like you follow other medical advice. In this case, however, it's not relevant because in this country right now, the law is you have to wear masks. And if dafka in a shul, you're not wearing a mask, it's a chilul Hashem. Dafka in a place where Jews are religious, right? These are people that care so much about the laws of God. That's the one place that they violate the law. They go into the kupat kolim, they go into the kanyon, they wear masks. They go into the supermarket, they go into a shul, they take off the masks. It's a chilul Hashem to the highest order. And
did
I find it disgusting.
Did you ask any of the people in there what was going on? Like, why are you no masks? Just to find out what.
Yeah, honestly, when I saw what was happening, I did not go into that shul. I went into the ante room in order to daven, and I was very concerned, very, very concerned by what I saw. So, no, I did not go in because they were all not wearing masks. I was very, very scared that I would get this new variant, which they say is very contagious. That's what I did. But I just don't understand for the life of me. People that learned their entire life that Yom Kippur is pushed away for Pikuach Nefesh, Dafka in that place where they teach that halacha, Dafka the Jews that separate fish from meat are the Jews that violate halacha. I just don't understand it for the life of me. So I've heard religious Jews that said the following justification. You ready for this? If indeed this was the law and it's so dangerous, then they wouldn't allow demonstrations against the prime minister because so many people in one place, and they wouldn't allow place, and they wouldn't allow this. Since they allow it, it's all baloney. Since when do we paskin halacha based on what people do on the street? My best friends speak Lashon Hara. That means it's mutter? That means it's okay? That's it. We paskin halacha based on what people do. So if people are not honest, from here the halacha is you don't have to be honest? I find it disgusting. I really do. I can't believe it. The shuls, religious Jews, should be at the forefront of keeping the laws, not at the back front of keeping the laws. They should be the first ones out for vaccines with the highest percentages, pikuach nefesh, and number two, dina de malchut adina. Then comes everyone else who's not religious that don't learn or didn't learn yet these laws. But that's not what's happening, and I find it disgusting. What can I say?
Thank you, Rabbi Grunson. We have our next speaker online. So
no problem. Have a good day, everyone. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.